One of the greatest things about this time of year is, I believe, all of the sensory things that we experience. You just say Christmas, and I began to think about the smells of cedar in the air and cinnamon and cloves. I can hear bells and Christmas carols and the Salvation Army ringer ringing his bell. I can feel those prickly pines of the Christmas tree and the feel of snow falling on my face. Yes, I know I live in Texas, but I can still feel that snow on my face. The taste of hot chocolate and pumpkin pie. The beauty of Christmas trees and houses lit up. The sound of people laughing, the singing and being together, and even the feel and the sound of wrapping paper as I wrap the gifts and I watch Christmas movies. Christmas is so more, so much more than just memories. It touches all of the senses. I think that's why so many people find such joy in this season, because of our senses. For some people, it's a problem for that very reason. It's just sensory overload. But as we're thinking about this Advent time of expectation and anticipation, I can't help but watch the children around me. As we said in the morning, as I see them in their Sunday school classes, no one really anticipates Christmas like children, do they? That joy as they think about the gifts that they're going to get. I was laughing a while back with Haley because she'd mentioned how the boys wanted everything they see in the ads that come in the newspaper and the mail. And I remembered waiting for the Sears wish book to arrive. Can anyone else relate to that? Waiting for that Sears wish book catalog that was like that thick. And it would come and we would fight over who would get it. And then we would all sit down and we'd go page by page. And say, I want that. I want that. I want that. When that wish book arrived, we were so excited. It was a joy that I can still bring to my mind at a moment's notice. It was wonderful to dream about what we might do with those things that we knew we weren't going to get. Part of the idea of Advent and even Christmas as we celebrate it today is dreaming that dream and imagining the future. Experiencing Christmas through our past memories and our new expectations. The blending of the past with the future. But have you ever had a year when things just didn't turn out like you expected it to at Christmas? I don't know, maybe the decorations weren't right, or for whatever reason, you couldn't be where you normally are at Christmas time. Or maybe the turkey and dressing didn't turn out right. Or maybe you just had a bad year and you just weren't feeling it. That expectation of all the things we expect sometimes causes us to feel things differently. I can't help but think about John the Baptist as he's sitting in this prison cell. He has put a lot of himself on the line. He's laid out a plan of what this new Messiah was going to do. He was going to come and he was going to clear things up. The axe was laying at the root, ready to chop down the unworthy trees. The shaft would be burned with an unquenchable fire. But Jesus didn't seem to be pointing that finger of justice at people that John anticipated. There were no smoldering wood piles of sinners. There was healing, and there was forgiveness, and there was love. That wasn't what John was expecting. So because things weren't like he was expecting, he sent word for the disciples to ask, "Are you the one we've been waiting for, or do we need to keep waiting?" And Jesus tells them, "Go. Go. Go tell him what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've felt, what you've lived." You see, Jesus didn't give a simple answer to the disciples. He didn't just say, "Yep, it's me. Your waiting's over. Yay." Jesus doesn't give us simple answers today. It's not just about what we think. It's not about what's practical or simple. Jesus said, "Go and tell John what you've seen, what you've been a part of, what's moved you, how you've seen lives changed." He was basically saying to tell what you've seen, how you have seen people changed. How has your life been changed? That's what you need to tell John and everyone else you come in contact with. Things may not be exactly as anticipated or expected, but guess what? They're better than anyone could have imagined. The Messiah has come and has brought to the blind sight, not the kind of sight that we understand, but a new kind of vision of seeing beyond sight into the heart and the soul of God. He's brought strength to the lame, not the kind of strength that we imagine, but the ability to mount up on eagles and soar. The deaf shall hear, but not earthly sounds, but the sound of angels rejoicing, and the voice of God in our heart and in our mind. Advent can, for some, be a very difficult time, because we want the joy and the hope and the peace and the love that the world defines for us. The happiness of nothing in the world going wrong, no problems, nothing to stress over, the perfect life, jobs, family, friends, things, lots and lots of things. The hope that tomorrow will be perfect and the world will be just like I want it to be. No conflict, no war, no poverty, no hatred, no differences, no disagreements. Part of the problem in our world right now is that we're searching for things the wrong way. For the world, it's about power and control and money and things. I pretty much guarantee you that Christmas isn't going to bring that worldly definition of joy. Christ came not to bring us a perfect life according to the world, but to give us abundant life through the love of the Messiah, the one who gives joy and peace and hope and love. Yesterday, Roy was telling me about a book that he had looked at in our library. It was about a teacher who lived in Hawaii. He took me down this morning and we found the book and I started looking at it. It's a simple book. It's a teacher who lived in Hawaii and she was first-year teacher at a private Catholic school. The school was about to close because they just couldn't afford to stay open. The teacher had had an idea early on, and everyone in the school just kind of said, that won't work. We don't have the money for that. But that idea just kept going in her mind. And so she made a few phone calls. She called a publishing company. She got in touch with Fuji in Hawaii. And Fuji gave every child in the school a little Instamatic camera. Little disposable camera. And the publishing company helped the teacher get every one of the children divided up into groups and put them on different buses and sent them out for the day with their camera, with one thing in mind. Take pictures of where you see God. And when you come back, write about your picture. And when they returned and they each wrote about how they saw God, she took the pictures and she put them in a book called God's Photo Album. The book is very beautiful and amazing, and I wanted to read one of the entries to it. Trying to take a picture of a bird was hard. Every time I tried, they would just fly away or even hop away from me. But when I was walking through the forest, I saw him right in the tree, perched upon a branch full of big green leaves. He was singing a beautiful song that made me feel like I was in heaven. It sounded so heavenly and sweet. But the one thing that made me see God within him was the fact that he didn't fly away from me like the rest of the birds had. He stayed there, perched upon that branch, singing so nice. I wonder what you would bring back to me if I challenge you to take a picture throughout the rest of Advent of when you see God in your normal day. What would you see? Would you take the time to stop and see and hear and feel all the ways that God is present to you every day? Is it how you expect to see God? Is it how you expect God to present his child to you this day? I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to take a picture. Most all of you have your phones. Some of you might have to use camera. But I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to snap a picture sometime in the next week of when you see God in your everyday life. I might get one, I might get a lot. I hope so. If I get a lot, I'm going to find a way that we can show them through Christmas and Christmas time. You see, to me, our relationship with Christ must be more than intellectual. It must be more than coming here and hearing the carols and lighting the candles and singing the songs. We have to put our entire lives into relationship with God. And once we can do that, once we can truly go and tell what we've seen and heard and felt and know, then we can be sure that God is living and breathing in us. Not just in this room, but in every moment of our lives. May it be so. Amen. And amen.